All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll start in with the Word. Is there anything else we need to talk about before that? All righty then. So let's go to the Lord then. Father, we thank You that You gave us Your Word, and You gave us what's coming. You let us know. You gave us insight. So not only could we be ready, but we can help others to be ready. Lord, other people need to know this. Other people need to know that something is going to happen. And if they have no knowledge of it, then they're not going to know what to do. So Lord, help us to dig into Your Word, share it with those out in the world that need it, so that Your kingdom can be increased. That is our goal, Lord, to reach out to others, to steer them to You, so that You can get them saved through Your Holy Spirit and through Your work, and Your kingdom can be increased. Lord, I ask You to build a hedge of thorns around everybody that's hearing this. Everybody in this church, Lord, protect them from the enemy, because he does not like us digging into Your Word. So, Lord, Your name is a strong tower, and we run into it, and we know You're going to protect us, Lord, because we're doing Your will. We're digging into the Word, and we're taking Your message out to the masses. Help us, Lord, to do that. Protect us so that we can be at peace and full of confidence that we can get this done. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, we trust in You. Help us. By Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so last week we started chapter 2 in the book of Revelation. And if you weren't here and you don't have a copy of last week, raise your hand. And I don't know how many you made, but give out as many as you can. All right? Now, we gave out folders at one time. I don't know if you still have the folder. If you do, collect all that stuff in the folder. Keep it in one place. And I haven't been numbering. We haven't been numbering those pages. So you'll have to figure out the order by the verses. And then you can number them. You can put your own number on it. If I start numbering them now, it might be confusing. So you get your own system going, right? Now, I want you to remember something. Keep this in mind as we're going through the Scripture here in the book of Revelation. As the Lord speaks to each one of these churches, these seven churches, He is speaking to us at the same time. He's speaking to us at the same time. And He's telling us how to improve our relationship with Him. How to draw closer to Him. That's what He wants. He wants us to be more. Him tell you how to improve. So as we're going through this, you're going to hear information. But the main thing you need to be looking for is, how does this help me improve? How can I use this to get closer to the Lord and be more like Him? Right? Because that's what He's doing with these churches. He's telling them so they'll do that. The main thing is to be obedient to Him. He wants obedience. Right? How are you going to know what to do to be obedient? You're going to get into the Word. Right? So get into His Word, be obedient to Him, and then you'll be able to imitate Him better. You'll be more like Him. You'll be able to share His love with caring actions so that you can help share the gospel. That's what He wants people to know, that He loves them and gave His life for them, shed His blood for them. Folks, that's the only way they can go into eternity and be with the Lord. There is no other way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life, right? The life. So it's all about Jesus. We need to share Him through our actions so we can share the gospel. Because you can try to go up to people and share with them. I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking that if I meet somebody I don't know and I want to talk to them about the Lord, I'm going to start off something like this. You know, there's something you need to know that's very important. And you may not know it, and if you do know it, you may not be interested in it, but you still need to know it. Would you let me share it with you? And then briefly start, right? Just trying to find a way to get my foot in the door, you know, and be able to share with them. So that's our goal, share the gospel, to increase His kingdom. And you know what you give them when you give them that? They have what you have, the hope of glory. That's the mystery that Paul spoke of, the hope of glory. That's what we want to give them. Because, you know, people are out there and they don't have hope. They don't know what tomorrow is going to bring and they have fear of it. We can give them peace by introducing them to the Lord, right? So that's our goal. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So we give them the hope of glory. Now, last week, this is a little review, okay? Last week, we looked at chapter 2. We looked at the first church in chapter 2. And the main thing that he said to them, this is main idea, remember from where you have fallen. Remember from where you have fallen. He's talking to church members, right? Mm-hmm. They have fallen. What have they fallen from?
Grace.
They have fallen from grace. How did they do that? How did they fall from grace? What did they do that they fell from grace? They depended on something else. They put their faith in something else other than the Lord. They had the faith. They were using the faith. But then out of, I don't know, just the mundane week to week, going, doing whatever, you know, working for the Lord, serving the Lord, it became mundane and they got off track and they heard something, saw something, felt something, and they started putting their trust in something else other than the Lord. They fell from grace. So he wants them to remember to stay in the grace of the Lord. We spoke of staying faithful to God's grace, which is, who is? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the grace of God. He came and gave Himself for you. God's grace, right? It's His gift. Jesus was the gift. Let nothing be a substitute for His gracious work on the cross for you. That's it. You look to Him on the cross for your forgiveness, and you look to His resurrection for your eternal life. He proved we would get eternal life by coming back to life. He is the firstborn among many brethren. And that includes ladies too, right? It's a generic term. So you're not left out in the cold.
Let nothing be a substitute
for His gracious work on the cross. Obedience, obedience, obedience to the way of the Lord. Here's the way of the Lord. You want to know the way of the Lord? You got to open this up. You got to get into it, right? Listen, I don't care what people say. God spoke to humans already and gave them what He wanted us to have. Here it is. And He gives a warning in this book at the end. Don't add to it. That includes the whole Word of God, folks. That's not just that one book of Revelation. Don't try to add to the work of the Lord. Trust Him. Be obedient to Him, right? That's what we need to do. Don't allow any teaching to cause you to fall from grace, which is the work of Christ. Don't let anything get between you and the grace of the Lord.
So, wasn't Ephesus, though, one of their main problems was that they were so busy doing the works of the Lord that they just sort of forgot about their worship and love of Him?
I believe he said something about the Nicolaitans in there, didn't he?
Yeah. I know your works, your toil, and patience endure.
Right.
And all of that.
Well, that's a good thing. That's commendation.
Yeah.
But where they fell was they started following the teachings of a person which said...
They hated the works of the Nicolaitans.
Yes, the Lord hated it. They got off track, Debbie.
Yeah.
They left the Lord and they went with the Nicolaitans. And what was their doctrine? Do whatever you want. You're saved. Lord's going to save you. You can do whatever you want. Doesn't matter now. Once saved, always saved. Right? Now that is a true statement, I believe. But it doesn't mean do whatever you want. It's believer security. But it doesn't give believers license to do whatever they want. You still must be obedient to Christ and His Word. Yes?
So it wasn't traditions or anything like that that made them fall from grace, going back to the law?
It was false teaching. But if you go back to the law, that's another way you can fall from grace.
Well, I thought maybe it might have been traditions.
It says you abandoned the love that you had.
Okay, but what was the love they had at first?
Jesus.
Yes, they abandoned that. Now, abandon it doesn't mean they completely turned their back and headed out of town to get away from it. No, they just stopped being obedient and they started doing other things. That's the problem. Don't let false doctrine get in and take you away. Yes. That's it.
That's exactly what they were doing.
If you're old enough to remember the 60s, and I think most of you are, it's called, you're not part of the most, Lisa, just relax.
Yeah.
What was the saying?
If it feels good, do it.
There you go.
Yep.
That's where they were, all right? Okay, so don't allow anything to take you away. And here's what the Spirit says. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. This is what the Spirit says. The Holy Spirit guide was the guide for the men who wrote this. So hear him. And in verse 7, how does the Spirit speak to us? Through the Word. We already talked about that. The living Word, Jesus Christ, He is the living Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
Right? Now, through His Spirit, He dwells among us. He did His fleshly work. He's gone back to glory. But His Spirit is still here, and He gave His Holy Spirit to indwell us, to empower us to do what He wants us to do in this book, right? And the number one thing is obedience. Be faithful to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
And when you say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, it's like saying, I believe that He gave Himself for me on the cross and was resurrected from the dead. It all comes together. It's Jesus. He's the package of your faith.
Praise God.
Okay? That's just a little review. Now we're going to go on in verse 8. So find chapter 2 and verse 8. Remember that the angels are the pastors, okay? Chapter 2 and verse 8. Here's what it says. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. To the pastor of the church of Smyrna, to the leader of the church, whoever that is, that's who they're writing to. And it's from the first and the last, the creator and sovereign over all things, of all things and over all things. Amen?
Amen.
The only true God. The only true God who died for our redemption and the redemption of all things. We don't talk about that much. But yes, the earth, not this earth, it's going to be replaced. But in that replacement is its redemption. Your body is going to be replaced. But in that replacement is its redemption. This earthly, fleshly body isn't going to heaven. It's not going to be with Jesus. It's going to be trashed. And you're going to be given a brand new heavenly body. Right? That's what the Lord does, right? All right, so let me go back here. Who died for our redemption and all things, and then returned from the dead as evidence of His success, our proof for redemption. So by His works, we can trust Him, right? That's evidence. People think they, you know, trust in Jesus is a big leap of faith. No, there's evidence that you can trust. Eyewitnesses and all that kind of stuff, right? All right, verse 9. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Now, he says he knows their works. We need to always remember that Christ, as God, is omniscient. He knows all things. He's God. He has that power. So we need to keep that in mind. We can't ever sneak around and get things done, you know, that He doesn't know about. So maybe that'll help you be more faithful sometime. I don't know. Not that He's spying, trying to catch us doing something wrong. No, that's not what He's doing. He's there trying to help us stay on the right path. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit is as well. When you get going the wrong way, He tries to guide you back on the path. He's a loving God, right? So He knows their efforts for Him. He knows their suffering for Him at the hands of the Romans and the Jews. Remember, even though these people are Jews, they're Christian Jews. They're people of the way, right? That differentiates them from the normal Jewish community. They're outcasts now. They don't get any help from the Jewish community. We don't want anything to do with them. You're like Samaritans now. You're bad blood. Get away from us. So they were taking it from their own people, their own race. Then the Romans. The Romans are polytheistic. Poly meaning many. Theistic is God, right? Many gods. They worshipped a whole host of gods. That didn't go well with the Jews or with the Christians. So now we've got the Romans and the regular Orthodox Jews giving them a hard time, right? So they had a really hard time about it. They were treated by outcasts from both groups. They led a life of subsistence living due to their lowliness. What are you going to do for work? Nobody wants you to work for them. If you work for a Roman, Romans don't need you to work for them. They got slaves. You want to be a slave? No, you don't want to be a slave. The Lord brought you out of that. So you don't want to go back into that. So they're outcasts. They led this life of subsistence. But what did Jesus say to them? You're very valuable. You're wealthy. You have me. You have God. You have the Trinity. You have the three in one. You're wealthy beyond imagination. So keep trusting me. I am for you, right? Their faith is priceless. There's actually about three parts to this verse. First of all, I know your work. So he talks about what they're doing. And then he says, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. They're Jews, but by blood only. They claim to be Jews, but only because they're descended from Abraham, so they think. They have no faith in Christ, and they really have no faith in God. They're like pretenders, right? Romans 9, 7 and 8 says, nor are they, speaking of these Jews, not the Christian Jews, but the regular Jews, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. No, they're not all children because of that. Because the scripture says, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. So you might be a descendant of Abraham, but if you're not a descendant of Isaac, then you're not part of God's plan for the Jews. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Well, what's the promise? The promise. God promised Abraham that he, Abraham, and Sarah would have a child. Remember, they were barren till they were well up into their 90s. They couldn't have any kids. So what did Sarah do? She took matters in her own hand, provided him a concubine, one of her servants, and Ishmael was born. Right? But Ishmael is not being used by God for his purpose of redemption because he's not of the seed of Isaac. He's a descendant of Abraham, but he's not a descendant of Isaac, so he can't be used. Only the children of the promise are counted as seed. So, part one of the promise is this. You and Sarah will have a child, a son. All right? Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Here's what else the Lord said he would promise him. The Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God promised Abraham that he would have a land. You know, you can't be a nation if you don't have a land. That's why it's important that we protect our borders. If we lose our borders, we lose our nationhood. Okay? It's pretty important. So, God says, I promise you, you're going to have a land. You're going to have many descendants. You're just not going to have a few children. You're going to have, look at the stars in the sky. That'll give you an idea, right? That's how many descendants you're going to have. How in the world is that going to happen? You know, that's what he's got to be thinking. And all the nations of the families, according to Genesis 12, 1 through 3, are going to be blessed through him. This is talking about the coming Messiah. That's how all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. They're going to be provided a way of salvation, a way to be at one with God again, like Adam was back in the garden. Only even better, I suspect. So he is actually saying those that have faith in the coming Messiah are the seed of Abraham. Those are the seeds of Abraham. Those are the ones I'm looking to work with and save the world. All right? And then you have this part. Jews that have rejected Christ. That's what this passage is talking about, this synagogue of Satan. These are Jews that have rejected Christ. In fact, they've rejected God. They're not part of his plan because they don't want to be. So Jews who have rejected Christ are not considered his sheep, but spiritually lost. Why? Because they've rejected Christ. They've rejected the Messiah that God the Father is providing for them. They are now what? Children of disobedience. I'm trying to be nice, Frank.
Okay.
Children of disobedience. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. So you have to get on board with this program. They've rejected Christ as their Messiah, so they're children of disobedience. If you're not with me, you're against me, is actually Jesus saying, not that you're lost. Since you're not with me, you're against me, you're lost, I'm finished with you. No, he's saying, make a decision. You still have time. Make a decision, and make a decision for me. Become part of my program. That's what I really want. Well, what'd God say? If it were up to me, I would that everyone would be saved. Right? He doesn't want to lose anyone. So he wants them to get on board. He wants them to join him. Make a choice. You can find that in Matthew 12:30, by the way. The same choice is in front of them today. Many have chosen positively. We call them Messianic Jews, because they believe in Christ and they study him. They study his works in the New Testament. So they can get on board. So there's the plan right there for the world. I'm giving you a Messiah. All the people of the world are going to have access. I'll save them all. All that will accept me. Let's go to verse 10. Do not fear. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. He's talking to the people of the church. Don't fear those things you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Go forward without fear. Didn't Jesus say that a lot? Fear not. Fear not.
Is this particular verse talking about the tribulation?
No, it's not talking about the tribulation saints. It's talking about the saints that are in this church. Okay? And this church is, as I understand it, pre-trib. So we'll see. And he tells them, you're going to suffer. Well, isn't that what John said? God said, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you shall have tribulation. Yeah. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So see, we don't have to fear that. Something happens to us and we perish. Where are we going to end up? With the Lord. Right? No fear. Okay? So, go forward. Don't worry about it. You're going to suffer. I know that. You'll be thrown into prison. But it won't be for a long time. 10 days is significant that it shows a short time. 10 days is a short time. There's other passages in Scripture. I'm not going to give you a bunch of them. But it indicates it's for a short time. A lot of people have made other things out of it and symbolized it a lot of ways. But just let it mean a short time. You're going to be in prison for a short time. But it's going to be intense. Almost reminds me of the guys in prison up in D.C. for January 6th. Those people are suffering. Unconstitutionally, I might add, but that's a different story. All right, so you're going to be tested with tribulation. Who's doing the testing?
I don't know, but it says be faithful unto death. And then when you read down the verse after that, it says you will, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. This sounds like, I got a cross reference that takes me straight to Revelation 13:9, which are the tribulation saints,
okay,
that are overcome. But the saints of the church, Hades will not overcome the church.
Okay, well, let's not get ahead too far then, all right? Let's let this play out, Curtis. How about that?
All right, go ahead.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the grace. All right, so he's telling them they're going to be tested. Well, can you think of somebody else that was tested? Maybe even unto death?
Abraham.
Christ. How about a fellow named Job? How about a fellow named Job? Because who's doing the testing here? Satan. Satan's the one's going to put him in jail. Satan is the accuser. That's the Greek name for him, right? The accuser. And so he's going to accuse them. He's going to have them thrown in jail. It's going to be very intense because what's he trying to do? Just like Job, he's trying to get them to deny God, deny the Savior. You know that's not true. Come on. No, that's what he's trying to do. So that's going to be very intense. Some of them are going to die. That's why he says, be faithful unto death. Some of them are going to die. So it's Satan that's doing this, and he's testing them, just like he tested Job, but it's only going to be for a short time. Be faithful, and what will you get?
Eternal life.
You'll get eternal life. He says, I will give you the crown of life. What is the crown of life?
Eternal life in Christ in heaven.
Is it a gold crown with jewels all in it? A lot of people think it's going to be something like that. It could be as simple as the wreath, the plant wreath. What was that made out of? I can't remember. The floral wreath that they got from the Olympics. Could be that simple, right? But here it is, the purpose of going through all that. The crown isn't the object of your faith, is it? It's not the object of their faith. The crown is symbolic, and it's eternal life with Christ. That's the crown you're going to get. You're going to be with Him. So forget about the crown, just being with Him. That's going to be the good thing, right? So they're going to suffer, but God's going to be with them. Some will be brought through, some will be taken. But He'll be with all of them. So you take comfort in that. Fear not. Move forward. That's what we need to do. All right, verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Well, the second death, as Curtis so eloquently stated, is the lake of fire. Believers in Christ need not fear the second death, which is separation from Christ in the lake of fire. Now, it's bad enough that you're going to be separated from Christ, but then you're going to suffer too in the lake of fire. So it's a very negative thing.
We are or they are?
The people that deny Christ. The people that deny Christ, right? We don't have to fear that because we're believers. So you don't have to focus on the fear. Your focus is on the Lord. That's where you need to keep your focus. Because testifying to the Lordship of Christ will bring what? Persecution. Yes. When you testify to Christ, you may draw persecution. The Scripture says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's in 2 Timothy 3:12. Go out there and start witnessing. See what happens. You'll get some people to agree. Mostly people that already know about Jesus. They'll smile. They'll congratulate you, right? But you'll run into some that don't want to hear it. They'll tell you, no uncertain word, don't want to hear it. But you really need to know this. Could save your life. Do you want me to tell you something that could save your life? Wouldn't you be interested in that? I'm thinking about using that approach. Well, what are we going to focus on? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Focus on the good things of the Lord. Focus on the good service of the Lord. Focus on the fruit of the Spirit. Focus on the things that are going to build up your faith. Don't focus on the negative things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. That's the Apostle Paul talking to the Philippians. These things you saw me doing and preaching and teaching. Do those things. And the peace of God will be with you.
Amen.
That's why you do it. So you can further the kingdom and have the peace of God. The Lord is with you now and will be with you forever. Right? You are living for Him. Did you know that's what we're supposed to be doing? Living for Him? We surrendered our life. Did you not know that? When you were baptized, you died. You rose up in Christ. So see, we're supposed to be living for Him and preaching for Him and teaching for Him and witnessing for Him so that His kingdom grows and grows and grows. And you can see your friends and loved ones when you get to be there with Him, right? That'll be great happiness. So, you live for Him. Who is Jesus?
God of peace.
The God of peace. It's the God of peace. So, what are you going to say about that church, the Church of Smyrna? What are you learning from that church?
Faith in the wrong thing.
So, what should you do? There you go. That's what you learn. Hang on to your faith in Christ. Don't let anything get in the way of that. Okay?
Because it's priceless.
That's right. It's priceless. It's worth everything. Even your life here.
And your life depends on it.
Right? Did you learn anything else from this church? Well, so how are you going to use that?
Well, I found it interesting. I mean, they were suffering, and he was encouraging them.
Yep, he's encouraging them.
We are to be encouraged that if we hold fast to our faith, that there is a prize at the end. We have to have an eternal perspective.
Okay, good. Well put. Have that eternal perspective. This isn't all there is. We don't have to hang on to this life. But most people do, don't they? Take the things that you learn from the Lord saying to these churches and apply it to your life now. What will happen if you do that? What do you think will happen?
Eternal life in Christ.
You'll have that.
Peace.
You'll have peace. Peace with the Lord. Doesn't say peace with all the people out there. But you have peace with the Lord. You have joy in your heart. You know, there's no better feeling than going out and doing something for the Lord. Even if you didn't win a bunch of people, even if it wasn't, you know, hey, earth-shattering, but you did it. You went out and served. What a great feeling inside. Man, it's a great feeling. We're already being lined up with people that are undesirable. Just know that's going to happen. But keep living the life for Christ. Be obedient. Keep living for the Lord. Yes. You need to speak up loud.
I said, what I was saying is that was that the tribulation, and you said no, because if it is speaking about the churches, this church that we're talking about, Samaria, it could also be like a foreshadow of what's to come for us like that too. That's why we've got to stand strong in faith no matter what happens to us.
Yeah, so that's the question. When are we going up? When's that rapture going to happen? How much of this tribulation do we have to put up with, if any? Okay, now I don't want a bunch of opinions, right?
It's right here.
That's okay. That's okay. Just hold on to it. You'll get a chance. All right? But the point is, doesn't matter when we go. What should we be doing until we go? We should be loving and caring and witnessing to everybody we can. Because if they don't go, they're going to have to make a decision during the tribulation. That's going to be pretty hard. Very hard. All right?
Don't want to miss the tribulation.
No, you don't want to miss it. The rapture, yes, we all want to go when Jesus comes the first time, right? When he comes back and takes the church out, that's what we want. And we're going to talk about that next week. All right, let's go to the Lord and we'll be dismissed. Father, I'm thankful for your word and how you loved us enough to give it to us, Lord. Help us to understand. Help us to get the meat of the message that no matter what, we need to live for you. We need to trust you. We need to rely on your grace. Nothing that we have done, nothing that we can do, Lord, it's all about you. Help us to not let anything get between us. Once again, I pray, Lord, you'll keep the church safe. Build that hedge of thorns around us, Lord, so we can continue serving you, we continue learning about you and the life you want us to lead here. We give you the praise and the glory for your love and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.